Namandavutu 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 namandavutu.
Begin this morning by reading the 18th vow, which we call the primal vow. This is the Hongan. So our head temple is called the Honganji. So this is the words of the Buddha that really serves as the basis for our specific Buddhist tradition. で、この本願という御文をいただいてから始まります。Please join me in 合掌。合掌をお願いします。If, when I attain Buddhahood, the sentient beings of the ten quarters who, with sincere and entrusting heart, aspire to be born in my land and say my name even 10 times, should not be born there, may I not attain the perfect enlightenment. Excluded are those who commit the 5 grave offenses and those who slander the right Dharma.
Watashi が仏になるとき、すべての人々が心から信じて、私の国に生まれたいと願い、わずか10回でも念仏して、もし生まれることができないようなら、私は決して悟りを開きません。ただし、五逆の罪を犯したり、仏の教えをそ知る者だけは除かれますと、ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ。
Good morning, everyone. 皆さん、おはようございます。So this will be our last Dharma School service of this year. We will be having a service on December 31st, New Year's Eve, 7 p.m. So please do come join us for that. You'll get an opportunity to ring the bell if you come for that one. But for this service that we're having this morning, we're rounding out our discussion about the Buddha's enlightenment and the important places where the Buddha taught during his lifetime. So does everyone remember the first Sunday here we had our special service for the month of December? Do you remember what it is? What it was, Cameron? It was Bodhi Day, that's right. And what happened on Bodhi Day? Yeah, do you remember, Finley? The Buddha attained enlightenment. And where was he when he did that? Yeah, does anyone remember? Haley, do you know? He was sitting beneath the Bodhi tree. And then here's a kind of tricky one. What is the name of the place where that Bodhi tree is? It has a special name. Do you know, Finley? You're close. Yeah, do you know, Cameron? It's called Bodh Gaya. Okay? Then last week we talked about the first place where the Buddha taught what he had understood when he came to be enlightened. The first teaching, the first sermon, called this the first turning of the wheel of Dharma. Does anyone remember the name of the place where that occurred? Yeah, Kate? The Deer Park. That's right. We talked about the deer that were there, and we talked about the deer park. Remember the king of the Banyan deer, the very kind deer who wouldn't receive the special benefit unless everybody could get that benefit? And that was the feeling of the Buddha. He got this great, wonderful thing to be enlightened, and he didn't want to just keep it to himself. He wanted to share it with everyone. Yes, Gyoma? That's true. We're going to Minnesota tomorrow. But now we're here. We're here at the temple, our place where we come to hear the Dharma, where we come to hear the teachings. And so today I want to talk about one of the very special places where the Buddha taught. The Buddha, he would travel around after he got enlightened. He would go from place to place teaching what he had come to understand when he became enlightened. So he would go from place to place, and everywhere the Buddha went to teach, students would gather. So if you have a teacher and students gathering, what do you call that place? A place where you have a teacher and students get together. What's that called, Cameron? A school. right? A school, right? So how many of you go to school here? Right? Okay, so a lot of you go to school. And what have you been doing at school lately? What have you been doing at school lately? Some of the things. Yeah, how about you, Miles? Homework. Okay, homework. Usually, I hope you do some homework at home, but you can also do some at school. Yeah, how about you, Finley? You're practicing, reciting for a play. Okay, yeah. How about you, Doma? Do some homework. That's right. Yeah, Cameron? I hope not. I hope not. No? How about some of the older students? Yeah, Nicole?
Finals,
right? Tests, right? So your teachers, they've been working very hard trying to teach you, right? Trying to share information with you. And your test is a wonderful opportunity. Is that the way you think about tests? Do you think of tests as a wonderful opportunity, a great chance? It's a wonderful opportunity because you can organize everything that you've been learning in your brain and you can show what you've learned, right? Tests are wonderful opportunities, right? So when you go to take a test, you should go in with a feeling of joy, like you're going to a picnic. The night before you have a test, you should have this feeling like, oh boy, tomorrow I get to take a test. I get to show what I've learned, right? So the Buddha was a teacher, and his students had to take tests. Did you know that? Did you know that? His students had tests. The test that the Buddha's students had to take was every single thing that they did in their life was a test. It was a test. They were tested in each moment of their life. Okay? Because in each moment we have a choice of how we're going to live. Are we going to be greedy? Are we going to get angry? Are we going to be ignorant? Are we going to not pay attention? Or are we going to be generous? Are we going to be patient and kind? And are we going to be wise and understand things? So every single thing that you do is a test. That was the way of the Buddha teaching his students, that each moment they lived was a great test, that their whole life was a test. And so he was trying to teach his students the way to live with kindness and understanding, wisdom and generosity. That was the Buddha's his goal as a teacher. And he had many different kinds of students. In your class, are there some good students who get good grades and do well, right? Are there some students who struggle a little bit? Yeah, who maybe fall behind, right? Yeah, Yoma? Okay, yeah. Yeah, you got one of your classmates, right? So you have many, many classmates, right? All different kinds of classmates. The Buddha was the same way. He had some students who, when they heard his teaching, immediately they got enlightened. They just had to hear it once. Hear the teaching once. Okay? So they would hear just one teaching. That teaching I read from the beginning of at the beginning of my talk, some of his students would just hear those few words and boop, they were enlightened. Did anyone get enlightened when I read that just now?
No.
No, me neither. I've read that so many times. Three languages, Chinese, Japanese, English, again and again. I'm still not enlightened, right? The Buddha had a disciple who was like me. He was like me. His name was Ananda. Ananda. Now, Ananda had a great memory. Does anyone here have a good memory? You able to memorize things and remember things? Ananda, he was always with the Buddha, and he remembered everything that the Buddha said. Have you ever had a conversation with someone where they said, I told you to take out the trash? And you said, no, you didn't. Right? I did. I told you. You didn't remember. Ananda wasn't like that. If someone told him something, he would remember it. It would stick in his brain like glue. He remembered everything. So you would think he would be enlightened, right? Because he heard all the Buddha's teachings and he remembered them word for word. All of the sermons, all of the sutras that we have because Ananda remembered them and then told other people, told the Buddha's other disciples about them. But even though Ananda had heard every teaching and remembered them all perfectly, he wasn't enlightened. He wasn't enlightened, right? So he was always there. Imagine if you were studying, you're trying to learn how to add, basic addition, the numbers between 1 and 10, right? And you went to school every day for a year, and all you studied was basic addition, but you still didn't get it, right? How would you feel? You might get frustrated or may feel bad. Well, Ananda, he had heard Buddha's teachings again and again. He still wasn't enlightened. He still wasn't enlightened. But he was very close to the Buddha. And one day he was looking at the Buddha. He's looking at the Buddha. And he said, "You look very special today. You look very special today." And the Buddha said, "Oh, really? Really? Why do you say so?" He said, Ananda asked him a question. He said, "Could it be that you are thinking about all the Buddhas who've ever been and how they're thinking about each other?" And the Buddha said to Ananda, "That's right. That's the best question anyone's asked me all day." So sometimes if you ask a good question, that's better than having a good answer. And the Buddha said, "Did someone put you up to that?" Right? Because Ananda wasn't the brightest student, right? And Ananda said, "No, it just occurred to me." And the Buddha said, "You're ready for a teaching now. You're ready for a teaching." And so he gave him a very special teaching. He told him about this Buddha right here, Amida Buddha. Amida Buddha, at the center of the shrine. Shakyamuni Buddha told him about this special Buddha. He said, "There once was a very special Buddha. Very special Buddha. But before he became a Buddha, he was a king. He was a king who wanted to help all the people. He wanted to help everyone. So he was like a Buddha. He had that heart, even though he had this great benefit of being a king. Would anybody like to be a king or a queen? How about a princess? Right? Or a prince? Right? You want the kings, the queens, the princesses, the princes? They get to wear nice clothes. They get to ride around in nice fancy carriages. Modern day kings get to ride in nice cars and fly on private airplanes. Get to live very comfortably. They get to tell people what to do." So he had a very comfortable life and he said, "I want to make everybody comfortable and have everybody feel peace of mind." So, you know, he tried to use his money, he tried to use his power, but it just didn't work. So he said, "You know what? There must be something other than money and power that can make people happy." So he sought a true teacher. He tried to find a good school. And it turned out that the good school wasn't in a building. It was out in a special place, out in a kind of forest clearing. He found a place where a Buddha was teaching. He heard that teaching and he said, "This is what helps everybody to become a Buddha, to become enlightened, to be free from all your worries, all your greed, anger, and ignorance." And so he said, "I'm going to become that kind of special person who helps everyone." And that's what we chanted when we chanted Juseige. We chanted the promises that king made. His name was Dharmakara. He said, "One day I'm going to become a Buddha and I'm going to help everybody." And he also made that promise that I read. We call that the primal vow. "If when I attain Buddhahood, so when I become a Buddha, everybody who wants to become enlightened, I'm going to create a special place for those people. We'll call it the Pure Land. It's a place of enlightenment where everyone can go. Anyone can go there. All they have to do is trust me, believe in my teachings, and say my name. Say Namo Amida Butsu, which means I take refuge in the awakened one of immeasurable light and life. The Nembutsu, we say it over and over again. said, through this teaching, everybody is going to become enlightened. That's right, namandabu. Everybody gets to become enlightened. Right? So that was the promise that he made. Okay? So this is a little tricky because there are a few different Buddhas in this story, right? There's Shakyamuni Buddha, who gave the teaching, but then there's the king who wished to become a Buddha. So as Ananda was listening to this story, he asked the Buddha, he said, did he do it? Did he do it? Did he become a Buddha? Did he create a place where even numbskulls like me can become enlightened? And Shakyamuni Buddha said, yes, he did. Yes, he did. We call that place the Pure Land. It's a place that everyone can go to become enlightened. Everyone can go there. And Ananda was so happy for this teaching because this was a teaching that was for everybody, not for the best students in the class, but for the worst students in the class. And Shinran, our teacher, says, well, if this is a teaching specifically for the worst students in the class, then of course it also benefits the best students, right? So the Buddha, in his great compassion, he wanted to help everybody. So he created this teaching that provides a path for all of us to become enlightened. And that's the spirit of our Nembutsu teaching. It's for everybody. It's for everybody. And all of us get this great benefit. So when you take a test, maybe even if you don't do too well, that's okay. Don't get too despondent. Don't get too sad. Keep trying your best. And know that the teachings of the Buddha, those are our guide, and they help us to see that each test we have is an opportunity to learn, whether it's a test that we do at school or the test that we do day to day in our life. When we meet people on the street, when we drive a car, when we do our jobs, when we spend time with our family and friends or help people we don't know, all of these things are important tests in our life. And the Buddha teaches us that we're all traveling together. So when we have this feeling of being a fellow traveler, then we realize we're all going to the same destination in the world of enlightenment. That's the Buddha's great heart that we receive in this teaching of the Nembutsu, right? So the Buddha taught in many different places, but this one teaching he gave is very important to us. And the place where he taught that is called Vulture Peak. Vulture Peak, right? So that's where he taught the primal vow. He taught the teaching of the Nembutsu. So I want you all to remember that here at the San Mateo Buddhist Temple, we treasure all the Buddhist teachings, but particularly we feel that this Nembutsu teaching is for people like us who aren't enlightened yet. And the place where the Buddha taught that is this place called Vulture Peak. Vulture Peak. So I'm going to conclude my words now with this teaching, these words that the Buddha gave at Vulture Peak. 最後に、この釈迦様が、こういう、見教え、本願を説かれた言葉を、みんなで、一緒に味わいたいと思います。まあ、本願というのは、すべての生きているもの、すべての人が救えるような教え。この、ちょっと劣ってる人、本当に悪い人、その人のために、この教えが説かれていますので、もちろんその人たちが、その人たちが救うから、もちろんいい人でも救われる。という優れた本願の教えで終わりたいと思います。Okay? Please join me in 合唱。合唱をお願いします。If, when I attain Buddhahood, the sentient beings of the ten quarters, with sincere and entrusting heart, aspire to be born in my land,and say my name even 10 times. Should they not be born there? May I not attain the perfect enlightenment? Excluded are those who commit the 5 grave offenses and those who slander the right dharma.
私が仏になるとき、すべての人々が心から信じて、私の国に生まれたいと願い、わずか10回でも念仏して、 もし生まれることができないようなら、私は決して悟りを開きません。ただし、誤逆の罪を犯したり、仏の教えをそ知る者だけは除かれますと、
ナマンバブツ、ナマンバブツ、ナマンバブツ、ナマンバブツ、ナマンバブツ。